It's crunch time. I don't know if we realize it, it's crunch time. We're living in days that are going to get worse and worse and worse as the days go on. And we cannot afford to play around with God. We got to start truly serving, obeying, and worshiping God.
Welcome to This Day in the Word with Pastor John Couch, the radio teaching ministry of This Day Ministries. It is a joy to have you listening today, and we pray that you will be encouraged, challenged, and motivated to live for God like never before. And now, with today's message, here's Pastor John Couch.
And welcome to another broadcast of This Day in the Word. What a joy it is to have you listening today, as together we have this great opportunity, this great privilege, to run hard after God, to dig deep into His truths of His Holy Scriptures, His written Word. We pray today, as we examine a great topic through these next two messages of modeling Christ-like behavior, oh, we pray that we would be a people that presses into God to just not know Him, but to therefore, because of our changed lives, to go make Him known to a lost and dying world. And so I pray right now that you take your Bible. Let's turn together to Colossians chapter 3, looking at verses 12 through 13, as we listen to the first part of the message entitled, Modeling Christ. Father, we just pray today that regardless of what we may be dealing with in our own personal lives, Father, we pray that our heart would truly sing, "It is well with my soul." So, Father, we ask that as we open this glorious book, the Scriptures, right now, Father, we pray that You would give us a great zeal to not just hear the Word, but to be doers of it. And so, Father, give us what we need at this very moment to block out every distraction, everything in this world right now that's pressing in on us, and the trials and the uncertainties and the heartache and the pain. Father, I pray we would lay all that aside here and just focus on You, Your glory, Your praise. Father, move me out of the way so that we just see You and hear You. To You be that glory, to You be that praise. And we pray this all in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said. Let's take our Bibles and go to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3 today, looking at verses 12 through 13. Colossians chapter 3. Looking at verses 12 through 13 today. I pray you have your Bible. If you don't, there should be a Bible there in the pew rack in front of you. I pray you take that and open that up to Colossians here in the New Testament. Incredible text today that, again, I pray will spur us on to be the people that God has called us to be. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ today, God has a calling on your life. You may not know it. You may not realize it. But God has a calling on your life. He has a purpose. He has a plan. You may be thinking, well, you don't understand what I'm going through. You don't understand the heartache and the pain and all the difficulty and all that I'm going through in this life. There's so much turmoil. How can God have a plan for my life? Well, we know He does because Scripture tells us He does. That we can rest in God's Word, that even though, again, things seem like they're spinning out of control, it's that key word, seem. There's nothing spinning out of control when the God of the universe, the God of the Bible, is holding us in His palm. And this is so critical today that we're encouraged, that we're strengthened, that we're emboldened, that we can live for God like never before, especially in perilous days. I find it interesting that Satan and how he works, and we know he's the father of all lies, and his main modus operandi, if you will, is that he uses lies and deceit to accomplish what he wants to do. And I believe he does this with the intent that whether it's a church, whether it's a home, whether it's a business or a team, that he wants to do everything he can to divide. That he wants to do everything he can to create disunity. That he does this for the purpose that he knows Scripture. But he knows what God's Word says, and we know from God's Word that a house divided against itself will not stand. Therefore, he slithers his way in, and he creates disunity so that he can draw away people from the gospel, not towards it, but from the gospel, therefore enlisting them in his army. And I believe one of the great byproducts in 2015 that we're living even in this very moment is that Satan uses the tactic of confusion. There is much confusion in our land today. We just saw recently that you can be confused whether you're a male or a female. You can switch genders. You can go on national TV and actually receive an award for courage. There's great confusion in our land today because we can't figure out that even though God told us that it's a man will leave his family and he'll cleave to his wife and they'll become one flesh, that somehow we think that God had it wrong, God didn't know what he's doing, we're confused. We're confused about God's truth. We don't know up from down anymore. We're confused about God's love. We think God's love is this mamby-pamby love that never confronts sin, that we just sit back, hope it all works out. We're confused about God's wrath. If he's really a God of love, he can't be a wrathful God. That wouldn't make any sense. There's confusion on every front. And James 3:16 says these words. Listen closely. Powerful text. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there, period. Do you see how he works? That in the midst of our culture that's needing something to dull the pain and fill the void and to actually take the confusion and to unravel it and to straighten it out, the one thing that will do that is the gospel, and that's the very one thing that Satan is against from going out. And he's doing everything he can to suppress it, to suppress the truth, to get you and me to fall into these things of what he wants us to do. And in our quest to fulfill these evil desires, many times we don't even realize it. We're so mistaken, we're so misguided at times, that even in this quest, that we're trying to fulfill these evil desires, we may not even realize it. We can be fooling around with the bride of Christ. And I don't know about you, but any good husband-to-be, that when he finds out that the bride is being fooled around with, there's going to be catastrophic consequences. Catastrophic. That's why there must be great unity. There must be great standing for truth and standing for principle. And that when the truth, again, is cast on the table, we know it divides. We know people get mad. We know people get offended. We know people take their marbles and go somewhere else. But that in no way, shape, or form should ever dictate that we back down and bend and buckle from what the truth really says. Because it's the truth of the gospel that will set the confusion free. It's not backing away from the truth. It's actually taking the truth and pressing forward. It's taking the truth and saying that though none go with me, I'm going to follow. That whatever it takes, whatever the cost to get the gospel out into the neighborhoods and the streets, that we're going to do it. And it may cost us our job. It may cost us our family. It may cost us our friends. It may cost us our life. But no matter what it costs us, we will not relent. We will follow what God has told us to do. Amen? See, this is pivotal. It's crunch time. I don't know if we realize it. It's crunch time. But we're living in days that are going to get worse and worse and worse as the days go on. And we cannot afford to play around with God. We got to start truly serving, obeying, and worshiping God. And that's why in this glorious text this morning as we weave into this, this is beautiful text that shows us what the character of the new man, of the new woman should be as they're truly converted, as they're no longer the same. There's some great characteristics we want to see here that if you're today and you're going, you know what? I'm a new man. I'm a new woman in Christ. Here we're going to unfold the character that you and I should have because of what Christ did in us that created the new creation in us and through us. And an outgoing expression of truly who Christ is who dwells within us. And here's what it says in God's Word in Colossians 3. 12 through 13. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved. Now he's really setting this thing up here. Some heavy words we just read. Put on, here we go, tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you must also do. Let's pause there. These are incredible words. These aren't earth-shattering words. If you've been a human being for any part of your life, which we hope that's been all of your life, unless there's some confusion there, that this is not rocket science. This isn't like, oh, I had no idea this is how I should behave. Wow, I'm glad I came here this morning. This is very plain, very simple. That this care for this new man is based on something I think we overlook so many times. And here Paul lists it right on the front end of this text when he says these words, therefore, in light of what was just said, as the elect of God, holy and beloved. Stop there for a moment. Listen very closely. If you are a child of God today, here's the great news. That you are elect, that you have been picked out, you have been chosen, is what that Greek word means. That God has shown His mercy on your life, His grace. That even though you were a child of wrath, you are now a child of the King. That even though that you were dead, you are now alive. That you are walking in darkness, and now you're walking in the light. That the God of the universe said, I want you. I want you to be mine. Therefore, we are to be holy as what? He is holy. You know, what's holy mean? Is that full of holes? What's that mean? It's real simple. It means sacred. It means pure. That because we have been picked out and selected and chosen, that we have this salvation that only comes with the blood of Jesus Christ, we are therefore to be holy. That's hard stuff, isn't it? That's hard stuff. That God through His Word right here is putting the bar very high. The expectations are very high. Now again, make sure you don't confuse this. When you're elect, when you've been picked out and chosen, you're already saved. You don't have to be holy for your salvation. You are holy because you're saved. This isn't one of these deals again. I gotta be good for God. Oh, I messed up yesterday. I'm going to hell. Oh, I gotta be good for God. I know I gotta work for my salvation. I know I gotta earn this. You can't do it. It's impossible. It's a free gift of God. Unmerited favor. It's grace that is shown upon you and me that are saved today. And oh, we should be so humbled. We should be in such humility. We should go, oh God, how can you save a wretch like me? How could you ever do something like this in my life? Oh God, I wanna praise you. I wanna serve you. I wanna give you all my love, no matter what it costs me. Therefore, we live a life that aims towards holiness. That in every thought, in every word, in every deed, every action, that we want to live a pure life. Not trying to earn something from God, but simply that God showered, He shed His own blood of His Son Jesus Christ upon us. Therefore, the natural reaction, the natural outflow of a truly converted heart is one of, oh Lord, I just want to please you for whatever time you have me here on this earth.
You're listening to This Day in the Word, the radio teaching ministry of This Day Ministries. All of Pastor Couch's messages are archived and are free to download at thisdayministries.org. In addition, you can share your prayer requests with us via email. Our email address for prayer requests is prayer@thisdayministries.org. That's prayer@thisdayministries.org. And now, back to This Day in the Word with Pastor John Couch.
To the elect, to the picked out, to the chosen, to the
holy, to the pure, to the ones that are pursuing holiness and sacredness, to the beloved. It's a term that expresses great affection. I mean, think through this for just a moment. If you are truly saved today, have you ever thought through the process of the love that was shed for you? That this wasn't just any love. This wasn't some superficial love. This wasn't a Hollywood love that's manufactured and that's built on popsicle sticks and that's going to erode at the first sign of trouble. No, this is a agape love that loves you, that loves me, regardless of how we react to the love. Wow. You talk about an awesome love. That even though I and you and we sin, we continue to nail him to that cross. God says, your sin is as far as the east is to the west. And as we just heard in that great hymn, and we bear it no more. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. It is well with my soul. Paul is laying this out so beautifully for this new man, this new woman. And then he goes right into the command. He tells who it is. Therefore, because you're real, because you're genuine, because you're elect, because you're holy. Here it is. Put on. Remember the word put on, the phrase put on? It means to be clothed with. That literally it's something that you're putting on per se of your new character. The unconverted, the unregenerate, the old man, the old woman is gone. The new man, the new woman has shown up. And therefore, there's a new behavior that happens when the person is truly converted. What does he tell us to put on? Here it is, number one. To put on tender mercies. It simply means this, compassion. I'm going to go through these quickly and we'll dialogue more. Number two, he says to put on kindness. It literally means to have gentleness. Number three is humility, which simply means this, moral littleness. A deep sense of one's own wretchedness apart from Christ. I did make a note here. This does not mean that we do not have confidence. This just confirms who our confidence is really in. Humility, like we're going to talk about in just a moment on meekness, is not weakness. If you're humble, if you're meek, that is not the time to sign up to be a doormat. But what that does mean is that there's going to be a view of oneself. And this is critical. Because when you look at Scripture, you see a couple things that God is really, really passionate about. There's several things, but there's two that I see over and over through Scripture. And number one is this. He resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. That when you look in Scripture and you look who Jesus was healing and who was calling on His name and look at the people that God used in a mighty way for His praise, for His glory, the common thread that's woven throughout these people is humility. Now, it does not mean weakness, though. We can look at example after example of people that were humble but were bold for God's. That they were humble and they took it on the chin. And they endured the false accusations, but they still had a perception about themselves that said this, that I have confidence, but my confidence no longer resides in who I am. My confidence resides in who God is. And that produces a whole new outflow from that person to a watching world. You ever run a person that's prideful and arrogant and they talk about themselves all the time and they're constantly trying to get themselves to be propped up, to be noticed, to be affirmed. And then you're around a humble person who has this quiet confidence, but just is peaceful, is content, is dialed in, will not be moved. There's a humility about this person. This is what this is referring to here. That we put on humility. That we, number four, put on meekness. Again, similar to humility and kindness in being gentle. But again, meek does not equal weak. When you look at all of these that we're going through this morning, you're going to see a lot of overlap. And that's very intentional. Because we need overlap in our lives. We need things to flow from, you know, one cylinder to the next, if you will, because we're in these sinful bodies of death and we need to have all these things. Let's just be humble. Don't worry about being meek and don't worry about tender mercies and kindness. But we need all these collectively together to work out in us so that people in the ultimate end do not see you and me. The ultimate goal, they see Christ. And that's the goal. When you go to work tomorrow, even though you're working for a paycheck, the goal, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, is not to receive a paycheck, although that helps. Your goal should be that when you go to work and you leave work and you're in the car heading home, that those people are still back there going, "Did you see Jesus in that person today? Did you see how they reacted to that situation? Did you see how kind they were? Did you see the humility?" But yet I wonder sometimes when we get in our cars and go home if the people left behind are just saying just the opposite. See, that's why this is so pivotal. We put on. We clothe ourselves. We're dressed in His righteousness alone. Faultless stand before the throne. Faultless stand before the throne. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. See, how do you get to the rock that's higher than I? You get clothed and dressed in His righteousness. Nothing you'll do will ever get you there. But everything that He did will not only get you there, it will keep you there. And that's what the glory of the cross is all about, amen? That we bask in the glory and praise of the One who saved. As He commands us to put on this meekness, but then also long-suffering, which is patience, especially with others. Now let's roll right in for a moment to 13 here, then we're going to kind of backtrack and go through this again briefly, but I want to shed some light on a couple things in verse 13. Verse 13 says this. I'm going to read it in context, verse 12. Therefore, as the elect, the chosen, the picked out of God, theos, holy, sacred, pure, and beloved, greatly, fondly, having that affection, put on, clothe yourself with those tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering. Here it is, 13. Bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you must also do, period. Wow, those are hard words, aren't they? Those are tough. Those are tough. And I wish we could all say, hey man, those are easy, man. We got those things licked. Give us something else. Come on, give us something else. This is easy stuff. Man, to bear with one another. What does this mean here in the Greek? It means this, to endure. It literally means this. If you break this and strip this down in the Greek, it means to put up with others. Literally. So you're bearing with one another. But here's where it gets really, really cool. Here's where we start to gospel ourselves, if you will. Because as we're bearing one another and enduring, because we put on the tender mercies and the kindness and the humility and the meekness and the long-suffering, here's what happens. We then are able to endure, even when we're treated poorly, we can endure it. And you know what the greatest thing is? We can actually forgive. You know what I love about the word forgive? It means this in the original language. It means to pardon. Sometimes you see this happen where a president, at the end of his term, he's going out of office and he will give what's called a presidential pardon. and he will release, you know, some folks who were charged with a crime, but he says, for whatever reason, hey, you're no longer guilty. You are pardoned. You are set free. This is what's so glorious. Listen, church family, today, that even when you're mistreated, you can choose to forgive. And here's the beauty, that when people mistreat you, you dictate how much love you show to them. They can't dictate how much love you show to them. You can still be kind. You can say hello. Because you have been pardoned yourself. I mean, just think through this for just a moment. If you're in the room today and you have truly been under the blood, that you've accepted Jesus Christ as that Lord and Savior, that your life has truly been transformed, do you understand this? That you have been pardoned. 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 From all your sin. It's gone. It's not only gone today, it's gone tomorrow, and the beauty of it is that it's retroactive to the past. That all your sin and shame that may be brought into this room today, and you got skeleton after skeleton that's falling out of the closet. But under the blood of Jesus Christ, at the name of Jesus, that is the glorious name of Jesus, that there's such power in the name of Jesus that the raging sea was calmed. That the name of Jesus, 5,000 were fed. That the name of Jesus, that the blind were given sight. That the name of Jesus Christ, the lame who haven't walked since birth, were told to get up and walk. That at the name of Jesus Christ, that Satan has been defeated. That the name of Jesus Christ, sin has been conquered. That the name of Jesus Christ, death will be no more. At the name of Jesus Christ, every knee, not some knees, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord.
You've been listening to This Day in the Word, the radio teaching ministry of This Day Ministries. Don't forget that all of these messages are archived and are free to download at thisdayministries.org. That's thisdayministries.org. In addition, if you have been blessed by the teaching of God's Word during This Day in the Word, we would love to hear from you. Our email address is info@thisdayministries.org. Thanks again for listening as we strive to honor Christ and impact our world as we spend this day in the Word.